Have you ever made a choice you knew you shouldn't have? Went for that extra dessert even though you were on a diet? Or smoked that cigarette months after you quit? Or didn't show up at that evening class you signed up for? Traditional economics assumes that we always make the most rational choices. But insights gained from behavioral economics tell us that more often than not, we don't. You're listening to The Color of Innovation, a podcast on innovation brought to you by the United Nations Development Program. Innovation for Development is about disrupting the way things work, or don't, and using creative approaches for solving difficult problems that people experience every day. This show brings you inspiring stories of innovation from across the Arab region. In each episode, UNDP introduces social innovators, sharing their inspirations and their ideas, their passions and their projects for changing the world. I'm Reem Al-Khatib from South Podcasting. In this episode, we're talking about how UNDP is using behavioral insights in their programming and how sometimes a little nudge in the right direction can make a world of difference. But what exactly are behavioral insights? To answer this question, we asked Fadi Makki, the founder and president of Nudge Lebanon.
So behavioral insights are the accumulation of knowledge gained from various disciplines, including psychology, economics, sociology, cognitive sciences, and neurosciences. And these challenge the notion that humans act rationally. So behavioral insights are novel in the sense that they integrate a lot of what we know already about people's behavior, about their own biases. And they try to inject that into the policy so that when we implement these policies, we have a more realistic model of what can work. So we don't make assumptions about what should work. Instead, what works is what has been tested to work.
So rather than basing programs on how they think people might respond, UNDP is using behavioral insights to test different approaches and determine which approaches lead to the most effective policies and programs. In the world of behavioral insights, people often use the term nudging to describe the process of tapping into our ways of thinking to lead to more positive behaviors. The concept of nudging was created by economists Richard Thaler and Cass Sunstein in their book, Nudge, Improving Decisions About Health, Wealth, and Happiness.
So what we're talking about when it comes to nudges are four essential characteristics. One, the nudges are small architecture type of interventions. So use of messenger, priming, reminders, use of default. And these choice architecture types have the capacity in principle to steer people in the right direction in a predictable way. Thirdly, they are cost effective and they do not change significantly the financial incentive structure. So a subsidy is not a nudge. And last, these are choice preserving, meaning that people could opt out of those.
So how exactly is UNDP incorporating these nudges into their work? Let's go to Yemen to find out. In July, UNDP Yemen hosted a community protection workshop in three neighborhoods of Aden in southern Yemen. During the three-day workshop, participants were led through a series of activities designed to help people in conflict-affected areas heal and recover. The workshop focused on overcoming trauma and managing conflict. Yemen's Creative People Solutions Foundation partnered with UNDP on this workshop. The head of CPS Foundation, Hind Hadi, tells us more.
The first day, we're talking about trauma and how they can over trauma, especially after war. The youth didn't have a chance to talk about their experience and how they can overcome this trauma. We discussed that maybe we can notice some changes in our behaviors, in our attitudes. And this is because we didn't deal very well with the trauma. So we tried to train them in using some techniques of how to overcome trauma and how they can use it. This techniques has been approved by psychosocial by psychiatrists. So today we're talking about how they can influence their community and if there's going to be initiatives, what they think is the best for them, for their community. So the participant, they brainstorm their ideas, and at the end they select one of the ideas which they will implement it.
Muhammad Ali, who is going by a different name here for safety purposes, is a 19-year-old college student from the Crater neighborhood of Aden, Yemen, attended the workshop.
He received the flyer from one of the foundation volunteers. The flyer invites the youth to attend a 3 days workshop in psychosocial support. So he's been interacted by how he can help the community, because in the flyer it says you can discover in the workshop how you can help your community.
Organizers of the workshop face challenges of not only attracting people like Ali to participate, but ensuring that they would keep coming back to each session. This is where Behavioral Insights came in. The flyers for the workshop were carefully designed by UNDP and CPS with help from Nudge Lebanon, with behavioral insights techniques in mind to get more people to participate. Organizers also used techniques drawn from behavioral insights to keep participants like Ali coming back. Khulood Sheikh, a program coordinator for UNDP Yemen, explains how this worked.
Behavioral insights makes it gives us more chance and space to show what would be the results afterwards, either with reminder SMSs, either with writing wall commitments, either by all the social media ways that could make the beneficiary understand what is he getting into and why. So it's about working more smartly than hardly.
Getting more people to participate and stay in the workshop ensured that people like Ali were given the opportunity to implement initiatives to help improve their communities. Daniel Shepherd, a senior advisor for Nudge Lebanon, explained that while there has been little research into how behavioral insights can work in countering violent extremism and community protection programs, there is a wealth of evidence that behavioral insights methods can do things like improve attendance and participation in workshops, a common approach used in these contexts.
It's very cutting edge. There's not even necessarily a lot of consensus yet about what psychological or even macro drivers of social cohesion or violent extremism are, because it is, in general, a rare phenomenon, and because it is difficult to study, it's not so easy to speak to the people that are engaged in it in different ways.
While challenging, Khulood Sheikh sees the recent workshop as an important first step in the process of creating better and more effective programs at UNDP.
I think that injection of BI was not that easy to tackle, especially with local NGOs, or since it's a new approach and it's the first time to be done in Yemen. But it kind of make the work more analytical, more into detail. So now, if you could ask me, or you ask anyone of the Yemen team who was involved in the BI, we have many, many lessons learned on how to work on BI now that we have done the experience. I mean, they're really small details, but have caused an impact. I think BI can make this work easier for UNDP, as it's very precise and as it goes into many details that we might think are not very sufficient, but they're actually very effective.
Daniel Shepherd is also optimistic about the future of using behavioral insights and believes that behavioral insights represent a more gradual and sustainable path towards change.
You can make incremental changes, and the accumulation of those incremental changes may be greater and more effective and more sustainable than maybe one big change all at once.
Fadi Maki from Nudge Lebanon also believes that injecting more behavioral insights and nudges into policies and programs can spur change.
So, as I mentioned earlier, applying behavioral insights to policies adds a realistic dimension to the implementation. So we are pushing boundaries and injecting more realistic assumptions about human behavior. In that sense, we don't claim that we always solve the problem using behavioral insights, but at least we have the capacity to measure the improvements. So experimentation is one of the most important things about the use of behavioral insights. And actually, in particular, the use of randomized controlled trials is the golden standard in this kind of in this field, in behavioral economics. So basically, because of these rigorous methodologies that we use, experimentation, we could measure the improvement, and basically we could continue always testing, readapting, and then going on with policies. So basically we continue testing, learning, and readapting. It becomes a continuous effort. So as if we are an eternal lab, always testing what works.
You've been listening to The Color of Innovation, a UNDP podcast that showcases examples of innovation for development around the Arab states and the world. We hope these stories will leave you feeling inspired and hopeful for our collective future. UNDP supports innovation by introducing new methodologies for doing development differently. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, and follow our journey through UNDP's website, undp.org/innovation. That is undp.org/INNOVATION. This show is produced by SELT for UNDP Innovation in the Arab States.